Hi, welcome to Impact Africa podcast series on Faith Fish Radio and podcast. My name is Vanessa Richard. So today I have joining me on this podcast, Kwame Awaga. And our conversation today will center on something very crucial, something very important, agribusiness and what future lies in it for the African continent, for the young people. Kwame, so good to have you join me.
Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you for having me. And thank you for the audiences for tuning in and listening to us chat a new course and path for myself as a youth and you out there.
Okay. Now, you are an agripreneur, if I'm not mistaken, right? And I know that you are involved in agribusiness, and I want to hear you talk about it, right? I want to hear you share your own experience.
Well, to begin with, I would like to, you know, share with our esteemed audiences an African proverb that actually says the best of mankind is a farmer. So, you know, on that note, agriculture and agribusiness, I would say, is the oldest occupation since creation. And as a matter of fact, that business has been the bedrock of man's sustenance on this planet for time immemorial. Now, when we talk about agribusiness, what are we basically talking about? We're talking about the commercial and large-scale agricultural production, harvesting, provision of farm machinery to supply of seeds, agrochemicals, but essentially companies related to processing food and other agricultural products for human consumption. Now, what is the future of agribusiness and basically agriculture in itself for the youth? Well, the continent is made up of over 50-60% youths, and you know, to a large extent, a lot of policies basically in the agri sector are not, you know, well, or tailored towards the needs of the youth. And from a personal experience, I think having been able to chart some new course or path in agribusiness in the Caribbean, because I've also had, you know, some businesses in the Caribbean, you know, it hasn't been easy. It hasn't been, you know, an easy path. It's been very difficult trying to get investment. And you and I sitting here would attest the fact that agri is a very capital intensive and labor intensive enterprise. And to be able to do that, you need some will and grit and some kind of passion for it before you'll be able to achieve the goals you have set for yourself in that sector. And so, for the past years, you know, particularly with the onset of the, you know, pandemic, a lot of investments are not coming in. A lot of things have been shelved. It's actually a very stressing enterprise to go to as a youth when you are not being given the needed support and push. Another thing is the fact that, you know, of the time, I think leadership in Africa has not been, you know, very helpful to the youths in all sectors, particularly in the agri sector. We have not taken agribusiness as a very serious entity. We have actually made it seem like some sort of enterprise only for the poor. And recently there was this talk shops, as we've already noticed that we've been having a lot lately in Africa, whereby a young lady actually said that. And I actually supported that and applauded that initiative that, you know, we should try to make agri as attractive, and the word she uses.
Okay, I think that's Tamara Happy Face.
Yes, Tamara. I don't know her name so well, but you know, that was something I actually buy into. We should try and make agri as, you know, attractive in Africa. It's only in Africa that when you tell someone that you are a farmer, they see you to be poor.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. You made mention of the fact that the policies in Africa has not been favorable to actually help this particular industry thrive. Is it that the persons involved in making these policies are not aware of the potentials that lie in this, or they just don't want to do anything?
Well, Africa's been to economic development, sustainable job and wealth creation has been hampered to a large extent by its leadership crisis. Now, the policymakers, a clear example is that the policymakers attend meetings and these talk shops without referencing the youths. who are affected by their policy directives and implementation. Now, when you go, like, for instance, I have personally sat in various meetings where policies are being drafted, and I can attest to the fact that the youths who are at the, you know, who these things need to be tailored and geared towards, or at the receiving end of these policies, are not even invited or consulted to a larger extent. We bring in consultants from elsewhere who do not know, you know, the problems, you know, the individual in the field is going through. So then when you bring in consultants from outside, from elsewhere, how are they going to be able to know the problems, you know, at the grassroots level and be able to, you know, tailor solutions to such problems? And so that is, so I would say it is, you know, the people do not know or do not have the solutions to these things, but they actually have a flaw whereby they do not bring in the right people to actually discuss or have these discussions with them when churning out these policies.
When you talk about policies being a hindering point to the success of agribusiness in Africa,
yeah,
I want to really find out what kind of policies, right? What kind of policies are we looking at here?
Basically, you know, there are a lot of incentives that can make the agri sector very attractive and sexy, as Tamara indicated. Now, a lot of youths, we know, do not have, most of the times when you are a startup like myself and you go on to, and you go to these institutions for financial leasing and all that, I mean, one, the ridiculous percentage you are requested to provide for, you know, getting a loan or a grant, particularly a loan for this to be able to invest in your enterprise, is highly ridiculous in Africa. Two, sometimes land acquisition. And in Ghana, who are the people owning these lands? These are the chiefs. And so you need to go to them and consult with them to be able to lease the lands for you. And this also comes at a price. And so these are the things we are looking at. Also seeds, seedlings, machinery, and all these things. For instance, if a foreign entity comes to, you know, decide to undertake a big project in making or undertaking a plantation in the agribusiness sector, you see that they are giving all the incentives. But we, the youth who are struggling to also make a living out of that industry and be able to, you know, cater for our needs, our basic needs, are having these challenges. These incentives, these tax holidays and policies that are needed to get some seedlings, it's really a big issue to look at.
Now, with everything you have said, what do you think is the best approach to ensuring that young people begin to embrace agriculture? Even if the government of the day is not doing anything, the young people themselves can do something. Private sector can come in. Other investors outside the shores can come in and begin to invest. How better can this be done? Or how best, rather, can this be done?
Okay, so before that, let me just delve into some few statistics and give you some interesting statistics that I can use to buttress that point. Now, leaders in the agribusiness sector have estimated, for instance, the African Development Bank have estimated that the sector can reach up to $1 trillion USD by 2030. And to achieve this, we need to be able to invest $45 billion per year. But presently, only $7 billion is invested in the sector. So that means there's a deficit of $38 billion. So if you look at it, where are these investments that the African Development Bank's Feed Africa strategy in this document is alluding to? Now, are they only to showcase some well-written documents to bamboozle the masses or what have you? I'm asking this rhetorical question simply because the strategy makes a definitive time period of 2016 to 2025 to achieve this overwhelming transformation in agribusiness on the continent. How can private sector, you know, come on board. I mean, it's all about collaborations. Students study agric, for instance, agribusiness in school, and they come out of school and they are still at home. Where do you find them? You find them in the schools, in the universities. You understand? So these are channels through which you go to them. You sit down and talk to them. You understand? The big firms can also look out for these startups that have brilliant ideas. You know, not just idea, but to help and mentor them, be able to achieve and make it a reality. I have a proposal of putting together, coming up with an agric plantation, a coconut plantation. And that has been gathering dust on the shelves. And you tend to wonder, look at the potentials of coconuts. Look at what the varied products that can be derived from agro-processing in coconut, in just coconut. Not to talk of cassava, not to talk of palm nuts, not to talk of and all these other products that we have and have the climate for in Africa. And these are some of the solutions I think we should be looking at in collaborating with startups. You know, the dialogue should now be from moving from the offices and, you know, meetings and getting to the youths. Where do we find them? And we know where to find them. Quite a few months ago, where I consulted with a firm that is, you know, taking a bold step into, you know, venturing into agricultural industrialization. You understand? Cassava processing, you know, pineapple processing and what have you. You understand? But the initial investment that you need as a youth, let's say $500,000 and all that, we do not currently have that. So just imagine, you know, this company comes in to actually help develop the sector. That's a private sector initiative. And you know, private sector, the motive is basically geared towards profitability.
So if the
private sector comes in that way, exactly. So comes in that way, what are you doing as government to cushion them? Because, I mean, if the initial capital needed for that or to be able to get the factory set up is about $500,000, how do I come up with that? The only way as a youth I can come up with that is to go to the banks. Are the banks willing? Looking at this outrageous, so the investment climate is not favoring us. I mean, the policies that has been turned out are not favoring us. You understand? And so that's what I'm trying to put across.
Okay. With everything you've said, right, is there any way that a young African, an African who wants to venture into agribusiness, can you start small in any way at all?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very viable. But let's not forget, if you start small, yeah, starting small has its own challenges. You understand? In Africa, most of our agri sector is actually rain-fed. So even if you start small, you still have a challenge of, you know, needing some financial resources to cushion you to some extent. If you are even starting small and you want to probably do some small irrigation system on your farm, irrigation is, it's very, very expensive, getting the company to even come and, you know, fix that. And so most of our agriculture, like I said, smallholder farmers, you can start small, but it's rain-fed, agric. But there are various solutions, mechanized agric solutions that can make that happen and easily get the returns you need on your investment. And these returns can either be gotten from family, friends, and largely a larger chunk of that. Basically, you have to go to the bank. That is a challenge. So, yes, it is possible to start small. But how long can you continue starting small? And you know, we have a challenge of storage facilities. I mean, the problems are just, you know, overwhelmingly too much. Now, once even you start small and you finish cultivating, now we have, like I mentioned earlier, the challenge of getting rain-fed agric sorted. To then storage facilities. Now, you know, it's very fascinating, but this kind of issues cut across. In the Caribbean, where I did a project with some farmers in the Caribbean. And largely, we even extended that project to Kenya, whereby we try to ensure that we are trying to help farmers get access to the international markets, imbibing technology into their innovation. I mean, it was even a challenge because with such an innovative idea, we still had issues with, you know, funding. You get it. But, you know, African youth are very willing. There's that desire, there's the dexterity, there's that innovative capability to get these things done. And you know, storage is one big problem. It's another challenge. And so we can sit down here and talk about the problems and the solutions, but we know all the solutions. We know the challenge, the solutions to the problems. But the question is, are we trying to make sure we get these things fixed? Because we are all aware, whoever controls your feed or where you get your food from controls you. So if we can be able to make sure we produce what we eat here locally, we can control how we direct
our destiny, something like that.
Our destiny, exactly. Thank you for making it or pointing it out.
Yeah. Okay, now let's even look at this. The African Development Bank, right? I know that they have they've said several things about investment in agriculture, investment in the young people, promoting agriculture so much so that young people are willing to go into it. In all of these things you've said, are they doing anything at all to help those young Africans who have identified agribusiness as their calling to actually thrive? Is there anything at all they are doing?
Well, according to their strategy, the Feed Africa strategy for agricultural transformation in Africa, there are some things that they are doing in terms of, you know, how the impacts of banks lending rates to this sector would boost innovation and lure youths into the sector. I think that is currently being done, trying to, you know, enable banks be able to. So the discussions are ongoing still. I think it's just talk shops and discussions and da-da-da still being ongoing, trying to make it very viable or trying to inject money into this banks to be able to reasonably fund these institutions. Now, the policy seeks to, you know, disseminate productivity and increasing technology and inputs, plus, you know, input intensity and capital intensity. Yeah, capital intensity. So like I'm saying, they are looking at, you know, working with trust funds and providing the needed capital and identifying potential projects within the agri sector that can be invested into. And so I think they are doing their part, but to a large extent, they need to actually identify the youths, look for them, go to the universities, work with the universities. I think the best solution here, because every year, the universities churn out thousands, hundreds of thousands of students. And how many of these students are unable to get jobs? How many of these graduates are unable to get jobs? And how many of these graduates are basically looking for? So I believe the discussion should be, this bank should actually drill down to universities, partner with them. I think that's a very viable suggestion. They have the money, the capital, partner with these universities, identify strategic investments that or projects that these students are coming up with, and assist them. So right from university, they have something viable to look up to. And once you invest in that, I mean, and mentor and coach them. I mean, African youth are very resilient. We are very resilient people, and that is what is works for us. And so that's what our leaders should actually be looking at. So yes, they are doing their part, but still a lot more can be done. A lot more can be done.
Okay. Now you're equally into financial technology, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Does he have any relationship with agri business?
Yes. You cannot talk about financial technologies and not talk about agri tech. You know, currently innovations, particularly post during when COVID-19 actually hit us last year, technology has been given a boost. And I am a firm believer in the fact that Africans can, at this point in time and in this technological era, leverage massively on technology to achieve the needed and the desired economic transformation, be it in agri, be it in whatsoever sector of the economy it is. This is the time. Technology has given us that validity. It has given us that boost. And so, you know, currently systems are being deployed or being developed whereby farmers can be given insurance packages for their seedlings and all that. And this involves, so that's also, so insurance for their crops, insurance, other products, agri-tech products are being developed whereby farmers can also gain some form of leverage in terms of being able to predict weather patterns and you know, like I mentioned earlier, the challenge with the rain-fed agri. So weather patterns whereby they can know the appropriate time or the best period in which to invest or to plant, you understand, and grow their seedlings. And so all these things, all these innovations are coming up. And the larger chunk of the work is to deploy these systems. The larger chunk of the work will be to deploy these systems to the natives who are largely not educationally inclined and you know, lack the technological know-how to be able to utilize these platforms. And so like you rightfully mentioned that I'm also into fintech. Yes, and that is something that I am trying to work on assiduously. We are looking at the process whereby we can leverage on digital financial transformation and to promote its literacy, because you know, we've been trying to achieve financial literacy for God knows how long, but that has been lacking. And so this is the time. This is the time, and we need partners. We need sponsors. We need grants to actually see. I mean, there's a lot we are doing out there. There's a lot we are doing out there in the agri sector. The youth are doing in the agri and tech sector that needs support to be able to move the sector forward. And agri alone, you know, agri-techs that have been developed by Ghanaians and by foreigners that have been deployed locally here, I mean, are just mind-blowing. And these things can monitor from soil quality to can monitor soil quality to, you know, seedlings, how the seedlings, when you plant the seedlings, how they are faring, how the growth, the weather patterns. I mean, very brilliant and innovative ideas. So, yes, these are some of the solutions that have been proposed for all the sectors.
All right. I think this is where we begin to, where we wrap up this conversation. It's been quite revealing and enlightening. And I want to believe that the government of the day, every one person should get involved, because this is one sector that, if we get it right, is going to take Africa to another level. Just like you said, exactly. If you can control your food basket and everything, you're able to control your destiny. All right. So before we go, do you have any last words you want to say?
Well, in a nutshell, I would say that agriculture remains an integral part of the African economy. And it is the daily lives of majority of Africans, accounting for over 60% of, you know, jobs across the continent. Now, the sector presently, you know, represents, with all this, the sector only represents only a quarter of Africa's GDP. And so look at that. Once we're able to do more, and for me, it's all about the capital investment. I mean, capital investment, coaching. I mean, we have had forebears and others who had actually led and achieved some milestones in the sector. So leveraging on their knowledge and wisdom to coach the younger ones like us would you know, promote that viability and that success rate that we are seeking to chalk in the industry. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Kwame Awaga. Thank you. Kwame is an agripreneur. He's also very big in fintech. Thank you very much for making it to you, the Impact Africa podcast series on Faith Flows. And before you go, what do you say to Faith Flows? Because Faith Flows is a nonprofit organization interested in building young people, because we believe also that young people are the future. So what do you say to Faith Flows before you go?
I think this is I've listened to basically all your podcasts thus far, and it's one thing noting that, you know, I'm always tagged in it. So actually listening and, you know, look at the deliberations or the innovative ideas that African youths are churning out there. And this is something that I think is worthwhile. And kudos to you and your team for bringing out this innovative podcast that seeks to promote youth innovations and, you know, centering the discussion around how the youth can get it right and how our leaders can assist the youth in getting it right. And so that is what I have to say to Faith Flows. So keep up the good works. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Kwame. Thank you. My pleasure having you on the podcast today. Thank you very much. And also to you, to listening out there, thank you very much for being part of this podcast, Impact Africa Podcast on Faith Flows Radio and Podcast. I'll see you again. But my name is Vanessa Richard. Do take care of yourself. And please like, comment, share, subscribe to get daily notifications or weekly notifications anytime we have the podcast available. All right. So thank you very much. Thank you.
Breathe, feel, live, love, learn, grow in faith, and make an impact. Introducing the new faithflows.org app, a new kind of social network that is dedicated towards uplifting the well-being of individuals and communities around the world, where believers can connect, pray, learn new skills, teach, inspire others, listen to Faith Radio, and volunteer for humanitarian missions. Download the Faith Flows app today and start living your best life now.